Do you know that feeling when everyone is talking about a movie that you haven't seen? Have you ever felt compelled to make some vague comments just so you can join in the conversation? Well, what if you were in too deep? Do you think you could convince everyone that you'd seen it? Or do you think your version would be so much better that no one would care? Here at Faking Movies, we're always the ones who haven't seen the movie.
Anything you can do better. I can do anything better than you.
Oh, you can.
Yes, I can.
Oh, you can.
Yes, I can.
Oh, you can.
Yes, I can. Yes, I can.
Hey, welcome back to Faking Movies. This is episode, spooky way to say 18. We are firmly entrenched in our in our theme month, whether you figured it out or not.
Well, you know, 18 is 3 times 6, or 666.
Oh, there it is. Shit.
Nailed it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, let me get my calculator out and confirm. Yep, it's right.
Whew. Had to go to the judges on that
Yeesh.
One.
Yeah. Tell you what, numbers don't lie, and these numbers are telling me that there's something spooky in the air. So, as I'm sure you've already heard, I'm joined this week, of course, by my dear friend Seth. Hey, Seth.
Hello.
And, of course, our dear friend Zach. Hey, Zach.
Hey, guys.
Ooh.
Extra spooky.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, I probably should have said hello in a spooky way, like, hello, I want to do a podcast.
Great. Great.
And also sell us chocolate cereal? I'm not sure.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Being a chocolate vampire and over 50, my risk for diabetes is tripled.
See, I thought you were going to go with chocolate-flavored calcium chews for the osteoporosis.
No, just diabetes.
Okay.
Going the other way on that one. Yeah, good.
We did have Wilfred Brimley on a previous, quite recent episode, so, you know, it makes
That's
sense.
True. We got the diabetes covered.
Thematic.
Yep.
well covered.
Oh, boy.
So we're gonna do just a little bit of housekeeping up front. I just wanted to, again, plug our new YouTube channel. If you search Faking Movies Podcast on YouTube, we're trying to post a teaser every week and at least one other video just in the in-betweens for shows. They're all pretty short, and we hope that you guys will share them with friends who maybe don't have time to check out a new show. So Faking Movies Podcast on YouTube.
Yep.
Good stuff.
On a personal note, I had to teach myself how to use iMovies to do it. So please watch them.
We're very proud
Thank
of you.
You.
Yeah.
You've been doing immensely well.
They are pretty good. So
I would like to point out that they are very amateurish. But anyway, does anybody else have any pre-work here we want to talk about?
No,
I don't think so. No,
cool.
Yeah, I think we're good. So Seth, you got it this week. You wanna
lead us in? Yep. So strap in, dear listener, because this is gonna be a rough one.
Yeah.
All right. So I am faking a movie called Insidious,
a title that gives nothing away.
Yeah, it was.
Yep.
It was kind of a problem. I definitely
even by as far as horror movies go, there's very little info in this title.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also the actors you gave me, I really don't know them. So
even after I sent you that picture of Patrick Wilson from The Phantom of the Opera?
You know, I actually hate The Phantom of the Opera. So
oh, it's terrible.
Well,
and that picture is a misdirect, to be fair. That's nothing like what Patrick Wilson looks like.
Yeah.
Or like, or yeah.
Like goofy fucking haircut.
I just, you know, while he's catchy, I just think Andrew Lloyd Webber is not a terribly good composer. But
ooh.
But Seth, he wrote a musical where everybody's on roller skates the whole time.
Yeah, and another musical where everybody's cats.
I've made this joke on my personal Twitter in the past, but I want to make a musical where all the songs are really just amazing and the dancing is very mediocre, and I'm gonna call it Reverse Cats. Uh-huh. That's a mic drop on Andrew Lloyd Webber right there.
Yeah, man, we're really putting Andrew Lloyd Webber on blast because he's so topical.
Is he like number six enemy of the show? Do we think he's risen to those ranks?
Quite possibly. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not even sure. Lee already said one of the actors that you guys gave me, which is Patrick Wilson. There's also Rose Byrne? Is that how you say her name?
Yep. Yeah.
Byrne. You mean Byrne. A person who's too good for everything she makes.
Okay. Well, I hope that's true for this horrible movie I'm gonna write. and then another woman named Barbara Hershey, who I also don't really know.
Dude.
What?
Were you never a teenage girl?
As it turns out, no, I was not a teenage girl at any point.
She's the wind beneath Bette Midler's wings, man.
Oof, great. Speaking of good songs.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think Barbara Hershey is really famous, right? Is my understanding?
I think she was famous entirely, in the 80s.
It's entirely possible, and it's just one of, like, the whole point of this podcast is, pop culture holes. Where, yeah, like, we're supposed to know things and we don't actually know it. So, I guess this is case in point for that.
True to life, yeah.
I will point out that one of the reasons we gave you her is just because there's a lot of people in this movie who are just not notable enough to have mentioned. It wouldn't have helped.
Yeah, well...
Well, that, and there's also a lot of people that, like, are extra. Like, there's not a lot of actual, like... Mm-hmm. main characters in this movie, I would say.
That's true.
Well, that's really good for my movie, because that's gonna happen as well.
Terrific.
You
sounds
also
like
told
you
me
nailed
it, was
it again, Seth.
Well, we'll see.
That'll do it.
It was directed by James Wan, who directed Saw, The Conjuring,
which we can give a little teaser I'm going to be doing in a few weeks.
Yeah, that's true. And Furious 7.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
The a great one. What,
second
one of the
or
top
third best
four,
Fast and
I would
Furious
say.
Movie?
Yeah. Yeah.
The best? Would we say
second
that?
Or third, I think.
Second, I'd say. Yeah.
Yeah.
Five
is. I think six has its
one.
Charms.
I also like six. Yeah.
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 Well,
anyway.
Right. Notably, James Wan has had some real bangers
it's,
in recent years.
Yeah. True.
And he's also a little all over the map, too.
Yeah. That's what you gave me. So my first idea was to do a joke movie where it was going to be an El Cid biopic in Cid. Yes.
Wow.
and then I remembered that's not how you spell El Cid, but you know, S's and C's are kind of interchangeable at this point.
I need to give a little more just personal background here. When Seth made Scream for our rom-com roulette episode, I actually made a bunch of stickers, had them specially made.
Yeah,
just because I loved it so much. And I asked Seth before we started if he was going to have another Scream level joke. And he said no, and I really think he was wrong. I think I might need to make some more stickers.
Is it going to be like in Insidious with like a little knight at the bottom?
I was thinking like in the backdrop, like is going to be one of his more famous works.
Yeah.
You would need some like weird capitalization or something.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Of course.
Oh,
of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lowercase IN caps CID.
Yep.
Yeah.
This is just a horrible garbage idea, but
yep.
I will pay. All right. I will pay for more stickers. You will accept them gladly when I give them to you.
You are correct. I will plaster them all over the back of a computer, which is something you know our listeners could do.
I totally did that with my Scream sticker. If anybody wants to start a faking movie street team, let me know.
I was gonna say, like go around your town and spray paint the URL for our WordPress just on whatever you find, and that really helps out the show. Yeah,
the more all those kids publicly out owned the building, the better, because then it's your tax dollars at work to get rid of us.
Oh yeah, that's
true.
Okay, so,
so
that
sorry,
was the
Seth. Let's get into your movie.
Yeah, so that was the first idea, and then I remembered the genre we were going for, and was like, that's not gonna work. So, What I did instead is a Insidious as a Jumanji ripoff and kind of a Cube ripoff.
Oh, yeah. Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, no, this is going to be convoluted and rough, y'all. So here we go.
Awesome.
I mean,
all right, so
how much more convoluted can you get than a few episodes ago?
Yeah, that's true.
When we tried to explain the Big Lebowski.
Yeah, that was not great.
But that was the real movie, so we should have done better there. I think when it's your time to shine, you're allowed to be as wacky as you feel like. Yeah.
That's true.
That's part of the fun.
Yeah. Sure. All right, let's get into this. So, like, our three characters that you gave me wake up in an unknown space, and there's all, like, fancy lights, and it's very futuristic and whatnot. And they're instructed from, you know, an omniscient voice that this is a test of character, quote-unquote, and they must go through every zone to escape. Now, nothing is explained. They just say, you know, you have to make it through every zone, and I'm thinking there'll be, like, 10 of these zones, but we'll get into that later.
This is some nice synergy with Saw, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, well, so I also knew that this movie has a lot of either sequels or prequels in the real Insidious, so
probably both, yeah.
Yeah,
I'll spoil it. It turns out it's both. So.
Yeah. Yeah, so my version is designed so you can make as many horrible movies as you want out of it.
Perfect. We're all about cashing in on this show.
Yeah, so, exactly. Yeah.
Excellent.
You gotta monetize everything.
So, yeah. In these sequels or prequels, so first off, our characters are going to be named Pat, Rose, and Barb. Creative.
Sure.
But they're not super important. Anyway, the sequels...
Our characters are not important.
That's... Yep. That's very true this time.
Good enough, yeah.
So, in the sequels, each iteration has the same person as the villain, and I'll talk about who I inserted as the villain later. And when you beat one of these zones, or, like, somehow figure it out, you end up in the next one. And the way that the zones are split up is they're different periods of time. They're different, like, historical eras.
Ooh.
And at the beginning of the whole series, it starts out pretty easy, and it gets ramped up and more difficult the further into the 10 zones you get.
Okay.
So, like, maybe the beginning is making it through something similar to the modern day, and then by the end you're in, like, the fucking Middle Ages or something.
Nope, I did it exactly backwards of that.
Oh, okay.
All right.
So, I went for familiarity, and you went for something you're going to tell me about.
Yep. The villain who shows up in each of these different iterations is Christian Slater.
Ooh.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah, and
perfect.
A man perpetually doing a Jack Nicholson impression. Yeah. How perfect for our show.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Who would I want to be kind of a psychotic person chasing after me for at least 10 different, you know, plots?
Yep.
Christian Slater is the answer.
Yeah. the cocaine makes him real fast, too. You gotta watch out for him. Yeah.
So, the characteristics of our three main players, like, Pat is kind of a bro of some kind, but he's actually kind of a decent guy. He's not the smartest, but it doesn't particularly matter.
And this is Patrick Wilson.
Yes, it is Patrick Wilson playing Pat.
You didn't flip him around.
Oh, that would have been fun. Oh, I'm such a fool.
That would have been unnecessarily confusing.
Yep. Well, yeah, I do like to. It'll get there in a second, so don't worry. Rose is going to be our like beautiful hidden nerd trope, you know, where like they're a super genius, but they wear glasses, so they're pretty ugly.
I feel like there's got to be an early Rose Byrne role out there where she does play that character,
like the Rachel Lee Cook. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, and Barb is the pragmatist who knows how to implement the crazy knowledge that Rose is dispensing.
Would you say that she's the wind beneath their wings?
Sigh. I guess I shall. But I'm not gonna say it out loud, so.
So defeated. Oh god.
Once again, your stupid jokes have bested me, Lee.
And just an update on the power rankings of hosts people hate. I am number one on that list.
Just surging ahead.
And then we'll have, you know, kind of interchangeable, dispensable characters showing up here and there, because in each different time period, you'll, like, get friends and lose friends, and they'll just, like, shift out, people die, but those three seem to stay alive through the entire series. The time periods to hit. So each one is characterized by a cult. And, like, the important part is they, like, our characters are stuck, like, basically trying to outsmart a cult of some kind, who is always run by Christian Slater. And they have to solve puzzles in what I wrote down is a jump scare dungeon. Because this is a modern horror movie, so it's gonna be nothing but jump scares, you know.
There's a lot of jump, yeah, that makes sense.
That tracks, yeah.
Yep.
So wait, just not to interrupt, but they just woke up, like, inside of this, like, solid-wise? Or, like, what's the onus for this game?
Oh, we'll get to that.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah, good.
Yeah, that comes up at the end. It's much like like in Cube or Cube 2 Hypercube or Cube Zero Origins or whatever the hell it was called, which I make reference to pretty often on this show.
Cube Zero would be Square, I think, if we're going to be mathematical about it. Right?
Woo!
Oh my
god. Any geometrists out there, please write in.
Is that a job? Let us know.
I don't know. There's mathematicians who do geometry.
Well,
so.
Maybe in one of the zones Seth's talking about. Way back, probably.
Yeah, that's sure. That is true. So, as I said, Christian Slater is going to show up being the cult leader in each of these. But so the first zone, I wrote down 10 zones for us to get through. The first zone is prehistoric, but it's anachronistic and confusing. So it's like, you know, that Noah's Ark they made in Kentucky where people are riding on dinosaurs and stuff.
Yeah. Cool.
That now defunct Noah's Ark, life-size Noah's Ark Lexington or wherever it was.
I'll never get to go. Oh, I lived in Kentucky and I didn't go.
Yeah, it's true. Never get to go to the Creationist Museum or whatever it was called.
I don't know why I would ever go now, but, you know.
Yeah.
I feel like a missed opportunity.
I remember at one of my former universities, there was, like, a bunch of the geology department, like, took a road trip to go to it to make fun of it.
Were they all really,
that sounds
like,
really
sad
fun.
By the
well,
end?
I was mixed feeling because I didn't want to support them monetarily, but also I thought it would be fun to make fun of it. So,
so there was no part of you that was like, oh, it's kind of mean to believe. It was just like, yeah, fuck those people entirely.
Well, they're so acerbic all the time anyway. So,
oh yeah, definitely. Man, there's another one of these too. They build it out of steel, which is an interesting choice for an arc. And it's like also halfway built. I think it's in Pennsylvania somewhere. I've driven past.
I assume it's in Pennsylvania because, you know, it's the steel state or whatever.
Oh right, we do it better with steel. Yeah. It just doesn't
fall and whatnot.
Yes, the hand egg match.
So
how many cubits do they have to traverse to get out of this era, Seth?
I'm just gonna let that slide.
Many.
So the second era is a Roman era, you know, you just have, you know, a bunch of centurions and things like that. It's not super interesting.
Sure.
The third one is medieval, which, you know, makes sense that you could have a jump scare dungeon where, like, spooky skeletons fall down on people and everybody's trying to solve these really dangerous, scary, dark puzzles.
Oh, yeah.
Look, it's a book, but all of us forgot how to read.
Well, so the logistics of this is really nice. So, like, all right, a horror movie, you're talking, like, hour 40, probably. Mm-hmm. With, like, 10 minutes of setup and 10 minutes of, like, finish, at least.
Yeah.
So you're talking, like, 5, 6, 7 minutes in each one of these, which is, like, an action-packed movie. Like,
yeah.
Oh, that sounds, yeah.
If you want to do it that fast.
You could also go the other route, since horror anthology TV shows are so popular right now. One episode per era.
Yeah, that's a good idea. If it was serialized that way.
This isn't fucking making TV shows, so I don't know what the hell you're talking about. But. We have a brand here, for fuck's sake.
You know, actually, what I was thinking is they would do like two or three per movie.
It's a continuous story. I gotcha.
Yeah, perfect. We could stretch it out as long as humanly possible.
I was going to say, this is like infinitely reusable, what you were saying. Like the Hunger Games, you know? Like they have a million movies because you can do the Hunger Games over and over and over. Like you could absolutely do this 13 times.
Yeah, it's going to be very profitable.
I want
people at the end of the first movie, where at the end of the third time period, end of the first movie, I want them to feel the same way I felt at the end of Fellowship of the Ring, sitting in a movie theater saying, but wait a minute, they didn't get to that big mountain they were trying to get to. Why is the movie over?
Yeah. Well, but also people really like that movie, so
I was also like, oh shit, there's gonna be more, that's pretty great.
Yeah, I take my money. Yeah.
Yeah. I do wanna Peter Jackson this up as much and stretch as much as we can.
Boy, so Ian McKellen's gonna cry in front of a green screen at some point, I guess.
Yeah,
claiming, for 10 minutes.
Yeah, because it isn't acting. Oh, I feel so bad for him because that's true.
Have you ever seen the bare stage Macbeth he did? It is so fucking good.
Really? I know, I haven't seen that. Ooh. That does sound great, but anyway. Great
or anyway.
Long.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
That was the Shakespeare section.
we do have to reference Shakespeare at least once per episode, so
yep, done and done.
All right, so fourth zone is, you know, 15th or 16th century Central America, where we have both, you know, some of the native tribes, the Toltecs or the Aztecs or whatever, because we're going to be racist about it.
You just conflate them and say, here's tan people,
Mexicans, shit.
And also the Spaniards, so they'll have to figure out puzzles involving both of those. The fifth area is 18th century France, particularly around the French Revolution. They'll either be,
you have to be a good political operator for that one.
Yeah, and they'll like either start off as the aristocracy or whatever and have to avoid getting murdered or something along those lines.
Seems fun.
Six is mid-19th century London, so we have Jack the Ripper styles shenanigans.
Everything is covered in soot. It's great.
Soot, smoke, it's pretty awful, but then there you have Christian Slater as Jack the Ripper just chasing you.
I had already forgotten about Christian Slater.
You forget that Christian Slater is in all of these.
Yeah. Oh, this is great. Yeah, okay.
I know, like, every 4 years someone tries to make a new Jack the Ripper TV show, I would watch Christian Slater as Jack the Ripper.
Yeah, who wouldn't?
Yeah, hands
only,
down. Yep.
Only a monster wouldn't.
Only Christian Slater himself.
Oh god, doing the British accent he does in Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves.
Oh yeah, jeez.
Oh boy, I love that movie.
Is it just Jack Nicholson doing a British accent? It's gotta be, right?
Kind of, pretty much.
Yeah. Okay. And he throws knives because he's Will Scarlet. It's so good.
Great. Oof.
Who's that? Is it Alan Rickman who's the Sheriff of Nottingham in that?
Oh, yes. It is so good.
Yeah.
Wow. He is the legend. He and Christian Slater are the only two people in that movie who realize it's not a good movie, and oh man. They make it their fucking playground.
You know what? I think that Morgan Freeman also realizes that it's not a good movie. But he does. Yeah, he plays it straight, though. He definitely plays it straight, so I guess you're right, where it's Christian Slater and Alan Rickman that really have fun there.
Yeah. We might need to cut this, but I am glad that I know that you love that movie, too.
It's such a great movie! Score by John Williams? It's Really good. Sure.
There's a tie-in soundtrack song and music video because they used to fucking do that in the 90s from Brian Adams.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Oh, fucking. Of course, by him. Three Musketeers and all that shit. Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, he also did that one.
What? With
Sting and Rod Stewart.
And Sting. Yeah. Oh, man. That was a great fucking trio.
Let's
there.
Make it all for love.
Ugh. And they were all washed up by then. They were all old and weird.
Yeah. I just love Tim Curry in that so much. I mean, Cardinal Richelieu. Because he's like,
shit. Yeah.
Nah, arrest the musketeers for trying to kill the king. And then he sweeps his.
I am the king. Buckingham or some bullshit.
Yeah.
It's just always Charlie Sheen with him.
Charlie Sheen is a priest in that movie. That's funny.
Charlie Sheen. Ooh. Yeah, that is quite a movie. We might have to bleep all of this out so somebody who has lived under a rock for their entire lives can do the Three Musketeers.
Cool. Yeah. This will be the bonus episode.
Unfortunately, I think anyone we know who hasn't seen that movie would also maybe be a French literature major, so we might not be able to.
Oh, boy. All right. So,
sorry. This was a hell of a tangent. Let's get back to it.
Yeah.
No, this is a hell of a mini-ep is what this is.
Yeah, I think so.
All right. Go on. Let's get back to my zones for my horrible movie, Insidious. Yeah. 7 is the American West, so we can have, you know, traditional, like, man in black, evil outlaw sort of thing. Played, of course.
I was gonna mention earlier, too, the different zones and time periods reminded me of the 70s Westworld. So, Old West feels right there. So does, like, Knights in Armor kind of thing, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So 8 is like a Charles Manson-esque like 60s cult.
Ooh.
Which
Oh right, I forgot they're all cults.
Yeah, they are all cults, which is kind of important to later on, but well, it's not really that important, but I figured that was a way to have Christian Slater be the big bad in every single zone.
Yeah, because he's clearly a cult leader. Yeah, totally buy that. Yes,
he's got that real weird charisma about
yeah,
him.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
yeah.
And I that mean, might just kill himself thing going on. Yeah.
I mean, I know I'm a member of the cult of Will Scarlet from Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves.
And we're back.
Great movie.
Oh, did you know it was scored by John Williams?
I did. There was
that sounds
a rich
like
man
the Imperial
from
March,
Nottingham
but...
who tried to cross the river.
Jesus Christ. All right. So wait, and after all this, you're telling me there's no Robin Hood zone? Or was there a Robin Hood zone?
No, there was like, there was like a... Yeah, there's a... There's like a medieval one. I mean, it's not quite the same, but yeah, maybe we could switch it out and have it be like a Third Crusade zone.
Sure.
Or whatever.
Oh, what? That's what you were talking about. Okay, I gotcha.
What?
Oh, dear.
Guys, I'm lost. Let's get back on track.
Okay.
Whew.
All right, we're up to 9, which is a like Hail Bop-esque cult in the 90s.
Oh, yeah, Hail Bop.
Space cult.
Yeah. I thought it would be kind of a fun little wink to people our age.
Everybody gets castrated and then they kill themselves.
Yeah, who remembers that mass suicide?
Yeah. Sure do.
And then the 10th zone is like a mid 2000s or 2010 like East Asian city, like it's all semi futuristic but not really, so that's kind of like crappy bits. Like I'm basically imagining Seoul, Korea for some reason, but okay. Yeah.
And how does the cult maneuver through that time period?
Well, I have no idea, but I figured we could do something.
We'll fudge it. Yeah, we'll get in post.
Full disclosure here, dear listener. I came up with this a half an hour before we started, so
honestly, real good. Like,
well, so far now,
a lot of detail.
No regrets on this.
Now it goes off the rails.
Oh. All right.
Okay. So, and of course, everything is kind of Anglo-centric because this is for an American audience, so we have to make it as Anglo as possible.
That's just, I mean, always, we gotta play in Peoria.
Yep, so. we gotta play in Peoria.
We gotta win those Midwest fuckers back. Yeah.
After we alienated them for the last 16 episodes. Oh,
God, just so hard. Yeah.
We certainly didn't do it with my dildo movie. So.
Okay, so all the while as they go through these 10 zones, they're like collecting scraps of clues as to how they got there and why they're there and all that, either from the bodies of former participants or from living ones that they come across. Okay. Now we get to the twist. At the end of the series, it turns out that the whole thing is run by some aliens. Who have kidnapped humans for thousands of years from each of these time periods, and who have kind of like a television show equivalent, which in a loose English translation of the alien language is called Insidious. In reference to all the cults and how sadistic they are and things like that.
Yeah, sure. So this is kind of Hunger Games Battle Royale, where it's like for entertainment purposes, yeah, just for aliens.
Yeah, but we're not done yet.
Okay.
So
because the aliens were man all along.
That's a really,
so it's not a Twilight Zone episode. Then?
Yeah, it's close because here we go. Somehow our heroes managed to escape the big bads, in some points that I haven't fully fleshed out yet, obviously. And
as you do.
And destroy whatever the broadcasting space station or whatever's sacrificing themselves. Or did they? And then we zoom out and the whole thing was a VR simulation, and the protagonists are right back at the beginning of the whole thing where they started with their memories of the last, you know, whatever, wiped. And there are two, and then we zoom out and we have two aliens observing them.
Wait. No. Stop.
I'm so close. Let me.
Okay. Fine.
Come on, man.
Okay.
Alright, so our heroes are back at the beginning with their memories wiped, and there are two aliens with clipboard-like things looking at a monitor and taking notes, and one of them says in alienese, that's the farthest the monkeys have ever gotten in Insidious. Ha ha ha, it laughs. And then another one responds, we'll just have to make it harder this time. Cut to black.
Oh boy.
And then you kick off the next series of films.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh,
so
man.
let me start off by saying I fucking hate you.
I gotta get out my graph paper to fucking figure that last 30 seconds out there.
So,
Jesus.
The twist is that the characters we've been with the whole time going through these time jumping simulations.
Yep.
Well, not simulations, but time jumping scenarios have been on an alien game show.
Yes. But
and then we find out no, it's really just been some people going through a VR simulation the whole time.
Yep.
But then we find out that VR simulation was administered by aliens.
Yeah. as kind of a science experiment, because I have to have science in there somewhere.
They couldn't have just put them through the scenarios in the first place?
No, because this
is... Why are there so many layers of abstraction?
What? Because we have to say screw you to our audience that sat through 10 movies.
Right.
I forgot. There's so many movies.
Yeah, we've been building up to this for
this
years.
Is two decades worth of movies.
This is a 20-year franchise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You forgot just how insidious this whole thing is.
Oh, shit. He went
meta.
And that's
the final twist. Seth did it best. He was the most insidious.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, at the end of the last movie, Seth, the director, it's just a screenshot of him, double middle fingers to the audience.
And then the credits roll, and you stick around for the post-credits sequence, and it's just his testicles on the lens. that's the last twist.
Yep.
Oh, God.
Y'all.
It's like Linklater with Boyhood, but like way, way more awesome.
So
I didn't see that movie because Ethan Hawke gives me a stomachache.
Yeah, no, that yeah, yep.
So that was my version of Insidious.
Shit. Let's just skip the real one, man. At that point. Yeah, fuck that. I could vote yet again. I could vote right now.
Yeah, I could definitely vote. But let's at least pretend like we have a format. Oh, so.
Yeah.
Zach, do you have
right, tell me boys
the synopsis?
What happens?
Yeah. All right. So this the real movie is unremarkable. I would say.
No. Yeah. I agree.
We'll go through the plot, or I'll try to do like a real quick plot. Mm-hmm. So
we'll do read the IMDb first.
Yeah. So IMDb: a family looks to prevent evil spirits from trapping their comatose child in a realm called the Further.
That what?
Yeah. That's correct.
I will say this: this is one of the most not just accurate but descriptive IMDb short synopsises we've encountered.
Really?
Yeah, we could leave it at that, pretty much. Yeah.
Huh.
There's a whole lot of nothing in this movie, which happens a lot in horror movies, where it's like,
yeah,
not a lot of plot, a lot of like character building for no reason kind of thing. Yeah.
Well, that's I have a few things. Like I was talking to you about this when I watched it, Zach.
Yeah.
Because this is a movie I've actually been wanting to see for a long time.
Why?
Years ago I saw the trailer for the second one.
Uh-huh.
And thought it looked so fucking so fucking creepy. Ooh. And for whatever reason I never came back around to watch any of them.
Uh-huh.
But I'm watching this movie and it's an hour 40. Uh-huh. I'm like, this is pretty good. Yep. Off to a good start. A few actors that I enjoy. All right. We could do this. A pretty defined set, like it's mostly it ends up being in two houses, but it's mostly in a house. Like it's pretty tight.
Like it's a bottle movie. It's just a giant bottle movie.
They filmed it for like $1 million.
Pretty much.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Wow. Really. Well,
It's and James Wan actually like he leaves his stink on this in a good way. Like it's very stylistic and mm-hmm. like the colors are really interesting. It goes from like black and white ish hues to like full color at its point. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I could see that. But like one of the things that I noticed right off the bat, the first 35 minutes of this movie, mm-hmm. if I didn't know that it was a horror movie. Mm-hmm. I would have thought it was just a straight up family drama. Like,
yeah, for sure.
Nothing odd occurs. Like, it's just a husband and wife who are a little stressed out, and like her dreams haven't really panned out the way she wanted them to. And their family is great, and it holds them all together because they really do truly love each other. And then their son has a horrible accident, and then stuff starts to happen. It just took so long to get going.
Yeah. It did, and then so the aforementioned comatose child mm-hmm. happens instantaneously and sort of without explanation.
Wonderful.
It's just like, ta-da, kid's in a coma.
Yep.
Yeah, he falls when he goes to examine the attic, but doesn't go into the coma then. He goes into the coma the next day.
Yeah, randomly. Yeah.
Huh. Hmm.
So
they had an opening to just put him in a coma.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And that cuts 5 minutes off the movie.
Oh, at least. Probably more, yeah. So, to do the whole thing really quickly and then get to our points, kid's in a coma.
Yep.
They can't wake him up. Mm-hmm. They hire... Rose Byrne starts having these weird, like, ghost encounters and whatever as the mom.
Uh-huh.
Patrick Wilson, of course, doesn't believe her because that's, like, the classic thing.
Sure.
If this movie was made today, he'd be stepping outside every chance he gets to vape. That's the attitude he brings to his family.
Oh, yeah, wonderful.
Pretty much. Yeah, so then they bring in, like, Barbara Hershey as Patrick Wilson's mom,
she plays the most understanding mother-in-law I've ever seen in a movie.
Huh.
Yes, and also her acting is, like, not very good. Yeah, it's surprisingly bad for her being famous. Mm. Yeah,
I mean, it feels like she knew someone in the production. It was like, yeah, okay, I'll work for a few days.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. And then, so... Barbara Hershey's like, oh, this happened to you as a kid. Like, you got to bring in this weird psychic lady I know. Mm-hmm. And they do. And she's the one that's like, oh, he's trapped in Ghost World. And Patrick Wilson has some, like, special powers where he can go get him back.
Yeah, some so bullshit. The...
And not the... Ghost World with Scarlett Johansson, right?
No, that'd be way cooler. Okay. Way cooler.
Not Ghost World starring number two friend of the show, Steve Buscemi.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Right behind
the kid was just hanging out with some Daria looking teenagers. Yeah. Like, that would be way dope.
Yeah. And then Steve Zahn shows up and saves the day.
He's a space and time lord. He could have saved them.
Oh fuck. Could've. Wait, no.
He probably could have stopped the coma.
Yeah.
Steve Zahn should be in the background of every zone in your movie, Seth. Oh, obviously. He's a fucking time lord.
That's a good point. Like, maybe he's, like, helping out our guys for some reason. Like, he implanted it. He's, like, another alien that implanted his Steve Zahn-esqueness into this horrible simulation of a simulation of a simulation, or whatever the hell I had already talked
absolutely.
About.
Absolutely.
And and then at the beginning, we can put based on a true story partially on it. So
back to the movie that exists in the real world. The explanation that they give is the kid can astral project. And he does it while he sleeps. He does it while he sleeps, but he thinks he's just dreaming. And he went too far and he can't find his way back. So all these evil spirits are trying to take over his body so they can get back into the real world.
That sounds
this
really
boring.
This is
as dumb as it sounds.
It's exactly
as stupid as it sounds.
And it turns out his father could do this when he was a child. And
but
the
forgot?
Psychic lady they bring in. Well, the psychic lady they bring in hypnotized him to not be able to do it anymore.
Oh, is it? Is it that? Is it that woman from Teen Witch?
No, it's not that person.
I can't remember her name. I remember she had a really cool. It was like Zelda something, but
It's not Zelda Rubinstein from from.
I prefer to think of her from Teen Witch.
This house. is clean. And then she was wrong because it fucking anyway, we won't talk about I love that movie.
We're gonna have to bleep all that out. God damn it.
Oh, by the way, way better than this movie.
Easily.
That doesn't
easily.
Surprise me in any way, shape, or form right now.
So. Terrific movie. Anyway, so the father used to be able to do it and he got this hypnotized out of him because he was being followed by evil spirits as well. And as long as you don't leave your physical form, they can't harm you. They can't possess you, I guess. So he goes into the Further. It was called the Further?
Yep.
Yeah.
That's a really dumb name.
And he saves his son from this demon, and they get back into the real world, and that's when the twist happens.
It's right at the end, and it's kind of dumb. I haven't seen the prequels / sequels of this, but
can talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. So the Lynn Shay, I think, is her name, is the psychic, and she suspects that something's wrong with Patrick Wilson. So she takes a picture of him, and he shows up in the picture as a demon. She knows, like,
it's the same demon that was following him as a child.
Yeah. So it's not his soul that came back. It's the demon's soul that inhabits him now that came back.
And damn.
Then he kills her and the movie's over and it's kind of.
That still sounds really boring.
Yeah. It was not great for a movie that was like praised and people, I think, genuinely liked. I thought it was kind of stupid. Yeah.
Yeah,
weird.
I did end up reading the synopsis for the sequel. The second one is a sequel. The third one and the upcoming fourth one are prequels.
This seems to be lasting almost as long as my awesome series of movies.
True, and none of them cost much money to make at all because they all have very small set pieces.
So this is a theme now. So like Paranormal Activity is notorious for this. They made like 17 of those in like 3 years.
I think it's the same producers as well.
Yeah, and it costs like $6 to make that because it's on handy cams like Blair Witch style.
Right. Like I actually kind of dislike shaky cam, but.
Yeah, I hate those movies. They're so stupid.
I mean, it's like they're going through a jump scare dungeon.
Yeah.
So there are jump scares in this movie. And they're all, I think they try to line them up with musical cues, but I don't know if it was just the copy I watched or what, if it was out of sync, but the musical cues really tipped all of them off to me.
That's fair. I don't know. I think that like jump scare is the horror crutch of, you know, a bad screenwriter, a bad director, whatever.
Yeah.
I don't mind a jump scare being in a movie. I mind it being the only thing that's scary.
Yeah, but the problem I feel like almost every horror movie I've seen in like modern recollection has been really, really jump scary and not like, and I don't mean to, you know, romanticize the past, but like there were like Hitchcock things that were creepy. And that's what made them so unsettling.
Not as much atmosphere.
Was like a slow burn where you feel uncomfortable and you feel unsettled the entire time, and that's what makes it a horror movie, and you never actually see anything. You see like
Have you seen It Follows?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the movies recently that came the closest to accomplishing that for me.
Yeah, I agree for the most part. That was a pretty good version of that.
Yeah, it wasn't perfect by any means, but
sure.
There's a systemic thing going on here where horror movies have gained popularity in recent times. Like early 2000s was a very low point for horror movies.
Mm-hmm.
And it was all sort of corny, like boobs out sort of horror. And then recently,
yeah, House of the Dead came out around that time. So,
was that like Cabin Fever and Jeepers Creepers and
Wrong Turn, Jeepers Creepers? Yeah. Which, you know, it has its thing. It's very corny and stupid. But, like, so horror movies came back into the fold.
Uh-huh.
And thus, like, these kind of movies are getting, like, 4 sequels. Mm-hmm. And it's because, and, like, Paranormal Activity. Like, because, I don't know, it's like a lowest common denominator thing, though, where they're making them really stupid and they all kind of suck.
Yeah.
Well, but they're making a ton of money, You could probably also make the argument that the only reason these movies, like horror movies, have become popular again are because movies like this made so much money.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
But anyway, I read the synopsis for the sequel, part two, that I years ago had wanted to see. It's so much more interesting than this movie.
Huh,
like, really?
Go figure.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how the execution is, but like, it seems like really fun, and there's a lot of stuff going on in it, I rewatched the trailer, and after watching the trailer and reading the synopsis, it sounds genuinely creepy in a way that this movie just really wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Well, now we gotta watch this shit. That's a bummer.
I mean, I'll just do that on my own time.
Yeah, no, I mean, I wanted to check it out. This is curious, I guess. Like,
yeah, if
not to...
If it was super popular and...
There's something to it.
I will say, having not seen the sequel and only reading about it, I get the sense that this movie is necessary for the sequel to happen, but I don't know that there wouldn't be a better way to make this movie.
So it's a preamble.
Yeah.
That's a good call. Yeah.
Now, if the sequel ends up being terrible, then I don't, you know, there's no reason for either, but.
Sure. Yeah,
that's fair. So I had one thing I really wanted to bring up about this. Two things, actually. Two quick things. James Wan, who directed Saw,
mm-hmm.
In one of the first scenes, Patrick Wilson is a teacher, and he's in his classroom, and there's a drawing of Jigsaw, like cartoonish, on the chalkboard, which was, I thought, really cool. I did notice that.
Yeah.
That's really good.
And then the second, I swear to God, Glenn Danzig is in this movie. No joke.
Wait.
He's not.
As the one, the demon? Yeah.
As the long-haired demon is literally Glenn Danzig. Like, they credit this Native American guy, but I'm pretty sure it's like...
it's modern-day Easter Danzig. Egg.
Yeah. It's either like Danzig died and came back as like the thing he wanted to be, like a hulky Native American guy and not like a sad Jewish short guy.
Uh-huh.
But like... yeah, I swear to God it was him. Like, I did extra research beyond IMDb just to make sure it wasn't actually Glenn Danzig.
I do want to use this as my platform to say to Glenn Danzig, sir, you are a glass beefcake. You look strong, but you get beat up by every other musician on earth.
Yeah. He really does get in a lot of fistfights and loses almost all of them.
the lead singer from Typo Negative, R.I.P.
A bunch of bodyguards
definitely beat the shit out of him.
Stained? Was it Stained or somebody? His bodyguards beat him up? I don't know.
That's sad.
Yeah. I might be conflating stories, but yeah, he's got that glass jaw on him for sure. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He should have been the singer for Glassjaw, not the Misfits.
Yeah, yeah. He could have been a real Daryl Palumbo. Huh. Deep cuts.
Hey, that's your reference for no one else.
Hey, wonderful. Yeah, podcasting for no one.
Early 2000s post-hardcore. I got that on lock.
Oh, boy. I feel like there's maybe some more stuff to say about this movie, but I don't know what it is. Like,
no, there's not.
Yeah.
You know, it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We'll get to ratings. I think it's rated very fairly overall. But I'm surprised that it got 1,000 sequels. And that James Wan, this is like his first big movie. Well, no, I guess Saw was his first big movie.
But, right.
Did he direct any of the Saw sequels, though?
No, he's credited as producer. Maybe.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
I think it was just one, yeah. Mm-hmm. I think he got EP on a couple of them. But, okay. Yeah.
I've only seen the first one, so.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, they went downhill really fast,
too. I'm sure.
I mean, I did see it opening night in theaters.
Jeez.
Oh, yeah, same. Yeah,
I definitely did not, but...
Oh, it was crazy. They got a new one coming out.
High school was a crazy time, you know? Like, there was a movie. We went there with our bros and looked at girls that we thought might come and talk to us, but they didn't, because obvi.
Because
you played the movies as prom?
Yeah, right. As my mom used to say, I was the most handsome boy in school, and the girls must have just been intimidated.
Oh, yeah, that's probably true. Yep.
I buy it. All right, should we do ratings? I think that's
sure, why not?
This garbage, yeah. Yep. All right. Mm-hmm. Okay, so IMDb for this movie was 6.8 with, I don't recall, but a lot of votes.
Okay, yeah.
That feels a little high to me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, especially for horror. Horror is notoriously, like, usually gets low ratings, and 6.8 is, like, pretty fucking good.
Yeah, so that's true.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. So, weird. Lee, you want to take it away?
Sure. I guess for the actual movie, I would say mid-fives. Like, I thought it was totally fine. It wasn't anything special. Mm-hmm. Barring seeing the movies that came after it, like it seems like there's some promise there, but this one itself isn't great.
Mm-hmm.
Seth's decade and generation spanning mind fuck of a franchise,
because there are gonna be Easter eggs throughout the entire thing.
Naturally. Yeah.
And all the actors are gonna get old and shit.
Yeah.
And like, oh my god. Think of the royalties. Just fucking think of
them. Well, I was kind of assuming that we would film it all like at one time and then
eke it out over the years.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Bleed them out. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
I mean, that's cool too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
So from a profitability standpoint, I got to give that baby a 10.
Uh-huh.
11.
Clearly,
11 and a half.
Just printing money with that shit.
That's true.
But, like, man, fuck you. There's so many fucking twists.
Like, I got to keep that audience engaged, dude.
Yeah, but I'll tell you what. If I got really hooked on this series, which it seems like I might... these movies would get a solid 8.5 until the final couple scenes of the last movie, in which I drop you down to a 2.
I was gonna go the other way on that. All right.
So let's just be generous and say 7.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would like to mention your El Cid biopic. 10. That's a big old 10 from me.
Hard 10.
Okay. Fair.
Oh boy. I think I'm with you, Lee, on actual Insidious. I'd say like a 5. There are certainly worse horror movies. Like, there's a pile of garbage in the horror genre.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
So, like, it's not terrible, but it didn't really do much for me. So, yeah, like 5, solid, even 5 is reasonable.
Sure.
Seth's, I'm going like a 9, 9.2.
Hell yeah!
Yeah, man. Oh, like, fucking, yeah, baby. Like, the Hunger Games are, like, silly and stupid, but I've seen those a bunch.
Sure.
And, like, I've watched Battle Royale, like, fucking a dozen times, and it's in Japanese.
Yeah.
Like, I have to read, and I watch that shit a dozen times.
I'm really glad you elaborated on why it being in Japanese was a problem for you.
Oh, because... yeah. Oh, because there's so much more effort. It's terrible. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
The,
no, could have like gone that... dark.
Yeah. oh boy. No, but like this kind of movie is awesome. Like, yeah. If you, and plus immediately you get into the characters, it's like watching sports because you're like, fucking, I want them to win.
Right.
It's going to be great. And you follow through. And like the whole thing, you're very invested in it. It's awesome. Absolutely. So like, I'm super into that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The only piece of the Hunger Games that I've seen was, I think, the second one. And I
think that was the best one.
Well, see, but I watched it on an intercontinental flight between two seats because the TV for in my chair didn't function.
What non-English language was it in, Seth?
I think it was, well, I mean, I couldn't tell because it didn't have any sound. So
that changes things.
I assume it was in English. Let's just assume it was in English.
Sure.
Also, I got bored a lot, and the person who I was looking between these two chairs at his screen kept changing channels, like, every 10 minutes.
Oh.
So he'd, like, go to something else, like a CBS shitty sitcom, and then come back to Hunger Games. So, I mean, I think I got the gist. But they seemed really fun.
So you're like, why?
Yeah.
Why is there so much 2.5 men in this goddamn Hunger Games movie? This is weird.
Oh, and it was like late season 2.5 men too. I'm sure. So,
it's Ashton, not Charlie. Ugh.
Yeah, the Ashton years.
Rough.
Whew. Yeah.
Wow. Man.
All right.
It sounds pretty definitively like Seth did it better.
Yeah.
I mean, even if you were up against a good movie, I think you fucking knocked that one out of the park.
Excellent. Yeah. Oh, but I'm super pleased because I was kind of dreading this one. Like, I had been thinking about it for like 2 weeks since you guys gave me all the information, and I couldn't come up with anything other than an El Cid biopic.
Which I will state.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my god, I'm so on board. The sticker potential alone.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh,
so good.
That's true.
Oh man.
All right, so what do we have coming up, Zach?
So to finish out the spooktacular, I think we're either gonna do a TBD on a potential guest. Or we're gonna have Lee do The Conjuring, also a James Wan movie.
Yeah.
Turns
out.
Yeah. Which I guess I'll reserve my criticisms of that, but let's say similar, perhaps.
Yeah. Seems likely.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, that should be good. So stay tuned for that one.
And, all right, until next time, Seth did it best. I mean, fuck me. Like,
we can definitively say it this time. Oh, fucking boy. Killed it.
Yep. Yeah. Just wait for that El Cid.
Oh, man.